probably should have announced before the service that today is Pentecost Sunday, but probably got that from all the readings, so. The message sermon today is based on the second lesson of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And being that it's Pentecost, I mean, you might have noticed we have different colors up here. Pastor probably would have had a different color stole on. Instead of white that we've had since Easter, there is now red. This means that it is time to switch seasons, to go on with the last festival of the festival half of the year. Today is the official day we call Pentecost. It means 50th. On this day, the Holy Spirit did something very special. The Holy Spirit placed tongues of fire on the disciples. In the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy, he enabled disciples to speak in tongues. He gave their mouths what we would call a helping hand. Pentecost was originally known as the Feast of Weeks. There were special festivals throughout the Old Testament that the men of Israel were expected to attend. One was Passover. The second, 50 days later, was the Feast of Weeks. In between Passover and the Feast of Weeks, the Jews would regularly have their wheat harvested. So God established this Feast of Weeks, 7 weeks after the Passover, as a time that the farmers could bring their first fruits to the Lord. They would bring fresh baked bread and bring them to the Lord, signifying that their harvest had come from the Lord. That's the reason there were so many people from all over the world in Jerusalem at this time. They came to give the Lord the first fruits of their grain. What a good time this was for the Holy Spirit to give the new church, the New Testament church, a helping hand. At the time this story takes place, the 11 disciples, along with some women, the mother of Jesus and his brothers, were among these believers. Jesus had told them before he left, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So they waited. Then finally, about 10 days later, they were gathered together when there was the sound of a blowing wind. It filled the whole house where they were staying. This sound must have been very loud, since people from all over Jerusalem came running to where the disciples were. Again, you can see the purpose of the Holy Spirit's sign of his presence. First, he waited for the Jews to come for the Feast of the Weeks, and then he brought all these foreigners together at one place in Jerusalem to hear the testimony that was about to take place. And then it happened. In fulfillment of Jesus' promise, something that looked like tongues of fire appeared in the midst of them, separated, and came to rest on each of them. Then they began speaking in tongues. Languages that they've never spoken before were suddenly being spoken by the disciples who have never studied languages before. If you've ever studied a foreign language, you realize how hard it is to do something like that. You can't just pick up on these accents and languages overnight. You almost have to grow up with some of these languages if you want to learn the actual dialect. But the Holy Spirit made these men masters of languages in just a second. Here was a group of men who could speak every language fluently and tell the Jews about their beliefs in their own language. The disciples were about to give them very clear testimony as to what had been done to Jesus and what Jesus had done for them. This is why we celebrate Pentecost today. The Holy Spirit used this special day to give a clear testimony of Christ and bring thousands of people to faith. We praise the Holy Spirit for allowing the disciples to miraculously do this and spread the gospel. So we need to remember what we have. We have God's direct revelation telling us that Jesus had died for us. God promises in black and white that Jesus' blood made us holy in God's sight. We have the Lord's Supper, where God promises us that Jesus died for us. We have baptism, where with simple water and God's word, he promises that our sins are washed away. And what's more, we can already speak in tongues. Paul said, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We believe that. We say it with conviction. We can already speak in a language that unbelievers cannot speak, but they can hear it. We can clearly profess that Jesus is our Savior to people who can least understand what we are saying. No unbeliever can say it and mean it, but we can. We don't need any more than that. Now remember what happened shortly after the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Some made fun of them and said they had too much wine. But this is a ridiculous charge. But the devil couldn't do anything else but to try and plant a seed of doubt in the people's minds. Maybe he could get someone to cast some doubt on the situation. That's just the way it works. He works. But Peter could not let this go unanswered. He said, these men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, that great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that the Lord who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So some of the Jews were dismissing these new Christians as just a bunch of drunks. So Peter showed them differently. These were faithful Jews who thought enough of God's word to return back to Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks. Therefore, they probably knew their Old Testament pretty well. So Peter pointed them back to Old Testament to prove that this day was actually predicted beforehand. Joel predicted that a day would come when God would pour out his spirit on all people. There were men and women, all of them, as Luke said, were filled with the Spirit. Peter was showing him that this wasn't some random act of weirdness that happened on some people who had too much wine during the celebration. God had planned this far in advance, and now it was coming to fulfillment. When you realize what the Holy Spirit had inspired the prophet Joel to write that text about 100 years prior to Pentecost, you also realize, since the Holy Spirit is God, he also knew what the text would be used for. The Holy Spirit didn't only predict Pentecost with this prediction, he also included a prediction of Judgment Day. The sun will be darkened and the moon turned to blood before the coming and glorious day of the Lord. Why would the Holy Spirit include a prediction of Judgment Day with Pentecost? Wouldn't it be a warning to those Jews who were there on Pentecost? If Christianity is really true, if Jesus is the Messiah, then the Jews were in the wrong religion. If they were in the wrong religion, then they would be doomed on Judgment Day. Peter pointed to judgment for those who rejected Christ. All of this shows that the Holy Spirit has his hand in the growth of the church in ways that we will never understand. Not only did he give us his disciples to speak in tongues, he predicted it, he planned it, and he fulfilled it. It was a well-planned-out event that the Holy Spirit brought to fruition. As the church continues to spread God's gospel, God's word in different languages and in different nations, the devil will continue to bring the same challenges. Today, he doesn't outright accuse us of being drunk, but the same attack is there. We are called bigots. We are accused of hate crimes. Today, it is sinful in the world's eyes to tell someone they are sinning. Even though God's word is clear on these matters, we are regarded as idiots. How different is that from being accusing us of being drunk? But notice what Peter did in the face of the ridicule. He didn't hide. He didn't run. He proclaimed the truth all the more clearly. He showed them as plainly as possible that this was the fulfillment of what the Holy Spirit would say. What we have to realize is that the Holy Spirit is in control today. Paul warned Timothy through inspiration of the Holy Spirit that this exact thing would happen. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their ears want to hear. But Paul told Timothy, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. If the Holy Spirit predicted Pentecost hundreds of years before it came to be and fulfilled it, he also knows what we go through today. But we have to be rest assured that the Holy Spirit is still in control. All we can do is proclaim the truth of God's word even more clearly, just as Peter did. Then we and many more will be ready for the coming of the Lord. For those who believe in Jesus as their Savior, it will be a glorious day when he comes instead of a dreadful day. Can people tell that you have something that makes you different? When you speak with them, can they tell you that you has been possessed? Just as God poured his Holy Spirit on the disciples through the baptism of fire at Pentecost and gave the ability to speak in tongues, he has poured the Holy Spirit on you through the baptism of water. Now the Holy Spirit has his hand in everything you say. He has enabled you to speak about your Savior. Thank the Lord and make it every day a celebration of Pentecost. Make it so everyone can tell that your mouth and your whole body is possessed with the Holy Spirit. Amen.